And many Christians are brainwashed into thinking politics is so dirty, you don't get involved. That is a lie. If you study church history, if you study world history, you can see how Christians who entered politics have transformed their nation. Who you work for is far more important than what you do. Let me repeat. The moment you realize you work for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, everything else becomes secondary. Your work may be hard, you may think it's boring, but once you understand who you work for the King of Kings, and that changes everything. Amen? So, who are you working for today? I pray the Lord. Today, I want to share with you, how do you make a difference in your work? Make a difference. Be extra. Think of the acronym BEE. Can you pronounce the word BEE? B. Now, what enters your mind when you think of bee? When I think of bees, bee, I realize it's one of the most amazing insects created by God. Do you know why? They work together. Every bee, okay, each one knows its responsibility, its duty. You have all kinds of division of work. You have the one making honey, you have the one foraging, you have the one guarding, you have the one making the wax, you have the one making the temperature, make sure it's under control, 93 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, it is amazing. And do you know what? They travel. Sometimes it's be 12 miles a day. To make 1 pound of honey, the bee has to visit 2 million flowers to make 1 pound of honey. And sometimes the whole colony, if you compute all their traveling, they have to go around 55,000 miles. That is 2 times around the planet Earth. Wow! Is God amazing? No. So, are you a bee? No, but work like a bee. All right? So, B-E-E. First, be intentional. Number two, excel in whatever you do. Number three, entrust. You have to entrust yourself to God. What is the theological basis of being intentional? Jesus tells us how you are to work. Everybody, read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Together. Together, you are the light of the world. If you look at the grammar, the emphasis is you. You and you alone. Number two, you are the light of the world. Now, let me ask you, what's the purpose of light? The purpose of light is to illuminate. Imagine a room that's completely dark. I wonder if you have been to a place where there's no light at all. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting Mammoth Cave. This is one of the biggest caves in the world, but once you enter, after a while, complete darkness. You can feel the darkness. You cannot see anything. And then you begin to appreciate light. The Bible tells us the world is in darkness. And that's why the world stumbles. They don't know the way. They don't know the truth. Stop cursing politics. Stop cursing the world. Why it is so bad? You should ask yourself, where is the light? And the Bible says, you are the light. Now, what does it mean, the world? Well, this is amazing. When Jesus talks about you are the light of the world, that world that he's talking about is your spheres of influence. Spheres of society, influence center. Number one, religion. The religion of the world is very influential. Every country, every culture, is influenced by religion. And that's why Satan is so smart. Satan says, don't talk about religion. Where do you find that in the Bible? Don't talk about religion. It's not in the Bible. In fact, you should engage the discussion of religion in a nice way. Next, family. Do you now understand why Satan is against family? In the States, they don't like families. They don't even like getting married. It's crazy. Family, you have to influence family. Next, education. I believe education is so crucial because they are brainwashing young people today. Today, you will be amazed at what is being taught in school, in high school, in university. Next, what are you supposed to influence the light of the world? Workplace. Workplace. Are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? It's the biggest mission field in the world, wherever you are. Workplace. Politics and government. My goodness, where do you hear? Don't discuss politics. It's so divisive. My friend, shame on us. Politics should be discussed. If you disagree with me, I still love you. But we should discuss. Why are we not discussing? Brainwash. Emotional immaturity. Just because people disagree with you does not mean they're bad people. But you need to understand these are important topics. And many Christians are brainwashed into thinking politics is so dirty, you don't get involved. That is a lie. If you study church history, if you study world history, you can see how Christians who entered politics have transformed their nation. People have no idea what are the amazing laws passed by Christian presidents and leaders. The rights to vote, the freedom of women, protection of children. This came from Christians. And now what do they tell us? Don't get involved in politics. It is dirty. My friend, all it takes for evil to triumph, according to Edmund Burke, is for good men to do nothing. And when you hear people say, let us just pray, let us just pray. My friend, you don't see that in the Bible. We are to pray, of course, but we are to get involved. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. What is the next one? Media. Oh my goodness, media, social media. You know, shame on us when we don't encourage our people to get involved in media. You know why? You shape the way the news is reported. Today you have many fake news. Why? Because Christians have withdrawn. What else? Entertainment. You know, I praise God for many good actors. Actors can influence the way young people think. What about sports? Do you know today the biggest spectator event is not even music, it's not even movies. It's sports. And if you are gifted by God to be good in sport, I bless you. Be light. Amen? So, what is the message today? Make a difference. Be extra. So what does it mean to be extra? How can you be extra? Number one, be intentional. In Tagalog, bawal ang banjing-banjing. All right? You must know what needs to be done and be intentional. Jesus tells us, you are to go into all the world and what? Make disciples. Are you familiar with the theme verse of CCF? Matthew chapter 28. Would you like to see a part of that verse to those of you who are new? This is why we exist. Matthew chapter 28. What is the verse? Look at what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And how do you change the world? How do you change nations? You got to impact the spheres of the world, from family, religion, media, etc. Are we clear? So you are to make disciples. You are the light of the world. Now notice, how do you do that? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. For many of us, we want to be good in our company. We want to excel for our glory, for our salary increase, for our promotion. Nothing wrong. It's a bonus, but that should not be your primary objective. Your primary objective is to live your life in such a supernatural way that people can connect you with God. Glorify God the Father. Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me now. When they look at your work, when they look at your behavior at home, wherever you are, do you connect them to the goodness of God? See, for many of us, I think, just be careful. We don't even do good works. Our performance in the company is not good. People will even say, huh? Is that guy Christian? Cristiano ba yan? Shame on us. I pray that you embrace God's mission for your life. Your work matters. You must perform your work in such a way that they will say, you know what? God is amazing. So what's point number one? You have to be intentional. No, not just in your work. Jesus continues, all right? How? Well, you won't believe this. You have to excel. Now, what does it mean? How can you be extra? Well, let's look at what Jesus is saying. In Matthew chapter 5, same chapter, Jesus tells us, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, what is Jesus talking about when he talks about you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world? When somebody forces you to go 1 mile, you go too. Have you heard of this expression, extra mile? That is from the Bible. The idea of extra mile came from the teaching of Jesus. Why? During the Roman times, any soldier, not just centurion, when they see you, they can force you to carry their baggage 1 mile. That's the law. They can recruit you, and you have no choice but to go with the Roman soldier 1 mile. That's the law. But Jesus is saying, you know what? You shock them. When they demand you go 1 mile, why don't you say, sir, it's my privilege to help you. Can I carry it 1 more mile? Wow. That kind of teaching was shocking. Why would I carry the bag of the one that is ruling over me? Jesus says, go extra. Everybody say that with me, go extra. That is how you make a difference. If we just do what everybody else is doing, what is so extra about us? So you got to excel by go extra, be extra. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be extra. Be extra good. Be extra in your performance. But it does not just deal with performance. It deals with your attitude. Let's look at another verse. Luke 6, according to Jesus, I say to you who hear, everybody, can you please read this with me together? But I say to you who hear, everybody, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Friends, this is how Rome was conquered by Christianity. How in the world a nation full of slavery, you have to understand the Roman culture depends on slavery. Slaves have no rights, no overtime pay, no health benefit. They cannot even resign. In that context, Jesus tells his disciples, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. In case you don't understand what Jesus is saying, read the next verse. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. I'm saddened when I see Christians don't even apply this in their own community. We are to love each other. Love your enemies, do good, lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. Notice the bonus of Jesus. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. You know what Jesus is saying? You will represent me. He's not saying you do this in order to go to heaven. No, no. Because you are a child of God, you do this. And then they will know you are my child. Like father, like son. Because our father is kind. Our father is good. All of us must excel in the marketplace, in the schoolroom. If you're a teacher, be the best teacher. If you're a doctor, be the best doctor. According to William Temple, to choose a career on selfish grounds, like money, fame, power, that's my addition, is probably the greatest single sin that any young person can commit. Why? Let me tell you why, young people. If you don't consider the call of God in your life, you know what you are doing? It is the deliberate withdrawal from all allegiance to God of the greater part of time and strength. You see, you give your time and strength to your career. And if you choose a career for selfish reason only and not considering the call of God, how you can bless humanity, my friend, you are giving the best years of your life to yourself and not to God. I remember one of my mentors. He said, Peter, how I wish I gave my life to Jesus earlier. I said, what do you mean? He said, Peter, I came to know Jesus when I was over 30 years old. The guy was so faithful. But he said, how I wish I've come to know Jesus when I was younger. I would have given Jesus more years of my life. My friend, that is the meaning of understanding work matters. Whatever you do, be willing to make a difference. And how do you make a difference, everybody? Be extra. One more time. How do you make a difference? Be extra. How can you be extra? Be intentional. Excel and trust. You know, many times your good works are not recognized by your boss. Many times your good behavior are not recognized by the company. So how do you continue being extra good? What is the last point? Entrust your future to God. What example can I give you? You all know this example, but let me share with you. Daniel, as a young man, gave his life to God. He was so committed to being extra. Extra what? Extra faithful to God. Daniel was an amazing guy. Because of his performance, the king noticed him. He got promoted. When the king was deposed, another king took over. The guy who took over noticed Daniel. And Daniel was promoted again. This guy was so extra good. And here is now the story. This new king, King Darius, if you study history, Darius had an amazing empire from the Middle East, from the area of near Ukraine, all the way almost reaching India. This guy was the king. And you know what he did? It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 governors, satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners higher than the governors, whom Daniel was one, and these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king would not suffer loss. Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Daniel was so good that the king decided, I better promote this guy. Now, if you were the other commissioners, what will you do? In the Philippines, you have this terminology. What is the crab mentality? Crab. What do crab do? You pull the others down. And that's what they did. They wanted to pull Daniel down. So they tried everything. But can I tell you why? Because Daniel was extra good. They could not pull him down. Can I show you the verse? Let's look. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Together, let's read together. The commissioners and satraps began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel. They look for loopholes. What did they conclude? They could find, number one, no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Inasmuch as he was faithful, Daniel was extra faithful to the king, to his work. And no negligence. They could not find any corruption in him. So what did they do? This man said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Daniel was so God-centered. They said his work performance is so good. So the only way we can get him is in his religion. You see, Daniel followed the example of Jesus. Let your light shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The work of Daniel connected his performance to God. They say, this guy is a Christian. This guy obeys God. So let's see how we can trap him. So they came up with a stupid law. In Tagalog, binobola nila, they tried to put a fast one over the king. They told the king, King, since you are so successful, you are so powerful, for 1 month, do not allow anybody to pray. Just for 1 month, don't allow anybody to pray. King, just let them pray to you because you are like God. You know, the problem with dictators, they are humored and they think that makes sense. Let them pray to me only. When the king signed the law that you cannot pray for 1 month, there's a penalty. What's the penalty? Everybody, do you remember the penalty? You'll be fed to the lion. You know why? They have learned that Christians don't burn. When they were put in the fire, they were not burned. So now they said, let's try the lion. Maybe the lion can eat Christian, right? So the Bible tells us he signed, forgetting that Daniel will never compromise. You know, if you were Daniel, would you compromise? Only 30 days in the money. 30 days only. Don't pray. Only 30 days. After 30 days, you double up your prayer time. Will you do that? You know what happened? I have good news for you. When Daniel saw the thing was signed, this is amazing. You know, in chapter 6, verse 10, you know what Daniel did? This is amazing. When Daniel knew that the document was signed, in short, Daniel knew he was in deep, deep trouble. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. You know what Daniel did? He continued praying. Now you ask me, why face Jerusalem? Daniel is claiming a promise in the Old Testament. When God said, when you pray and you are a captive and you pray facing this temple, facing Jerusalem, God says, I will hear your prayer. So Daniel was just following the Lord, but he prayed 3 times a day, giving thanks. My friend, Daniel got caught. They got a video camera. They videoed him. Then they showed the evidence. Of course, at that time, there's no video camera. Okay, you know I'm joking, right? I want to wake some of you up. Okay, are you awake? All right. So the king was so sad. The king said, oh no, oh no. And then the people, the cha-cha boys, okay? The intrigador, they said, boss, you have no choice. You signed the law. You cannot change. That's the law. The Bible tells us the king was so sad. You know why? Because he knew Daniel was a good man. But he had no choice. His hand was tied. And the Bible tells us they placed Daniel in the lion's den. Now, this is something that hit me when I saw this verse, to let you know why you need to trust God. Okay, you know why you need to trust God? Look at the next verse. In verse Daniel chapter 6, I like you to read verse 17. I want you to notice something. What did they do to Daniel? They put a stone, laid it over the mouth of the den. That means you cannot escape. And the king sealed with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Humanly speaking, Daniel was finished. You understand? And friend, I want you to learn something. Why you can be extraordinary? Because we have an amazing God that nothing is impossible. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. Daniel was finished. No more hope. The cave, the mouth of the door was shut. The signet ring was placed there. In short, Daniel is going to die. Friends, to trust God means there are times when God will allow you to go through the lion's den. Many times, I pray that God will protect me from getting inside the lion's den. But there are times when God does not seem to act on time. In this case, Daniel was already inside. He's finished. Look at your own life. Do you feel like your future is finished? Do you feel like your career is gone? Are there problems in your life that you really feel like it's hopeless? Well, I want you to know something. We have an amazing God, because that's the God we serve. And you know what happened the next morning? The Bible tells us the king could not sleep. In verse 20, 22, the king got up so early and he spoke to Daniel. Everybody, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you among the lions? You see what the king was doing? He was hoping against hope. Daniel, gising ka ba? Buhay ka ba ba? This is the Tagalog translation of Daniel. Understand? I'm not talking from the Hebrew language. This is the Tagalog version. Gising ka na ba? You know what Daniel said? Boss! My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. Wow! Daniel said, God protected me. Praise God. So my friend, is God amazing, yes or no? That's how you can be extraordinary, because you entrust your entire future to God, but you keep on doing extraordinary. Be good. Be kind. Even if people will not be kind to you, be kind. Amen? All right. So, my question to you now. Was Daniel effective or not? You know what was so shocking? You may not realize this. In Daniel chapter 6, 25, 26, this king was so touched by Daniel, he made a decree. You know what was the decree? I want to show you why politics is important. Why government is important. This king got converted. King Darius got converted. What's my proof? Let's look at his decree. Then Darius, the king, wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language under his domain, I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. He is the living God. Wow. And enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. Here is this pagan king. He now recognizes Daniel's God, Yahweh, is the King of Kings. No other gods. And you know what else? You'll be amazed. He used the testimony of Daniel. You know how you perform is going to be used by God. This is testimony. Read the next verse. He delivers, rescues, performs signs, wonders in heaven and on earth. who also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. My friend, do you have any story that people can tell, that you can share with people, how because of your faithfulness, God delivered you? You know, many of us have no stories. We have no story to tell because you keep compromising. My prayer is you learn to trust God. Surrender everything. And the Bible tells us, what's the bonus? Ito po ang bonus. Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius. Don't stop there. And in the reign of Cyrus. You see, Darius was eventually taken over by another kingdom, the Persian kingdom. And the Bible tells us King Cyrus was also influenced by Daniel. King Cyrus issued a decree that anybody can go back to Jerusalem and help rebuild the temple. One man can make a difference. Be extraordinary. If God has been speaking to your heart today, and you say, you know what? I want to make a difference for God. I'm not forcing you to consecrate your life to God. I'm not even forcing you to offer your occupation to the Lord. But if God has spoken to you, I want you to know the significance. The significance of what you're about to do is based on Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You know what this Bible verse is saying? I urge you, by the mercies of God, because of what God has done for you, what must you do? I urge you to present, to consecrate, first your body, your life to God. And after you consecrate your life to God, you consecrate whatever you do for Him. That is a sequence. Okay, raise your hands, I'm gonna pray for you. Lord Jesus, from your heart, okay? Copy me, follow me. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Today, just as I am, I surrender my entire life, my future, my career. Come into my life. Transform my heart. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this group of men and women who have signified their willingness to consecrate their lives and their career. And now, Lord Jesus, by the authority that you have given upon me as the shepherd, as the pastor of this congregation, I now pray, Lord Jesus, I consecrate each one of them. I commission each one of them in the name of your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I now commission you to go into all the world, in all the marketplaces, and be salt and light for Jesus and represent Jesus and spread the gospel wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of serving you. I now commission everybody in their families all over the place. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.